Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. I'm Janine Vosper, your host, and today I have with me Priya Jaganathan. Did I get that right?
You did.
Oh, very good. Priya is a visionary founder of Pivot to Thrive. Priya guides Australian businesses in creating and scaling digital products, moving beyond traditional business, that traditional business model exchanging time for money. Priya's mentoring enables entrepreneurs to increase their income potential and business efficiency. Key, absolute key, because we know what's happening out there at the moment. We're thinking about, well, what should we be doing? But that's absolutely key to thriving in today's digital economy. She has successfully mentored numerous businesses, leading to their increased market reach and profitability. Priya provides personalized, strategic business advice tailored to unique challenges and opportunities for each entrepreneur, and supports business owners by pairing them with trained visual assistants. It means that you can free up your time and focus on business growth. It's such an important topic. I'm so very pleased to have you with me here, Priya, because I have so many people talking about what they should and shouldn't be doing all the time, and it's wonderful that you can join me and help clarify and explain some of that.
Thank you so much for having me, Janine. I'm super excited to be here today.
I want to understand, though, is this been something that's always been of interest to you, the digital world, or is it something that you sort of fell into and realized that you particularly liked it and can do it? What's your background?
I think I've always been geeky, techie. I love the technology. So my background is PhD in bioinformatics. So biotechnology done on computers. So I was this lazy Indian girl who didn't want to wash petri plates and test tubes, basically wanted to sit in an air-conditioned room and work with databases and software. So that was me 15, 20 years ago. So that was my master's and my doctorate. So my first job was university lecturer. In fact, that's the only job I did back in India for 9 years. I used to be a university lecturer and I was teaching undergraduate and postgraduate students in different subjects of biotechnology and bioinformatics. That's how I started.
I want to get clear on biotechnology. So it's not just technology and bioinformatics. Just explain it in a language that I and all of my listeners can understand, please, Priya.
Okay. So say, for example, for a drug to be released into the market, right from the initial experiment into the market, it's going to take 10 years of trial and error to be on an average. But bioinformatics kind of basically shortens that time frame to 1 to 2 years, because you get rid of all the false positives and you only focus on true positives that's going to actually work for that particular disease or that particular gene. So you actually eradicate or eliminate 8 years of trial and error working on things that's not going to work. So it's going to help you narrow down to the ones that's going to work. So softwares and databases are going to do it. So this is back in the 2000s when AI was not even a thing. So those were real softwares and databases that helped us do it. And 2000 was very, very hot for bioinformatics because the Human Genome Project was done in the early 2000s.
It was. Yeah. Okay. So that helps explain it. And thank you for doing it in a way that I can understand it. If you had the AI back in those days, how much easier would it have made your job, or would you have been redundant?
No, I think it would have been massive impactful in terms of, I think we'd have had a vaccine for COVID even faster, or even better, I would say. Faster is not the word, more efficient. I'm very much pro AI, but then, yeah, there are some side effects. There are some, negative consequences with everything. But I still believe AI is actually a time saver, a lifesaver, and in terms of productivity management, it is a huge tool that I use day in and out.
What's the advantages?
Time, saving time. I mean, when I record my podcast episode, I just input my audio file into one tool. What it does, it transcribes my entire episode. It creates summary of that episode. It creates titles. It creates timelines. It creates LinkedIn posts. It creates quotes. It creates newsletters. Everything in 10 minutes.
Oh, that's
With
amazing.
just a single click, it can do all of this. That's going to save me time in and also produce content very, very efficiently.
And is that something that's easy to use for people, or it's
Yep.
something that they need to get assistance in doing so?
No, I mean, literally, it's for anybody. If you can upload a YouTube link into a search bar and click a button, you can do it.
Wow. Okay, that's nice and easy. I'll have to get the details of that software. You're happy to share it, or is this a secret?
No, never a secret. I'm always happy to share knowledge. It's a tool called repurpose.io. I'm happy to share the link. And you can use that tool to repurpose your content into multiple shareable content forms, because repurposing, I'm big on repurposing, because we spend 1 hour recording a content, we might as well create other forms of content that can be shared and used to get more reach.
No, and I actually have heard of repurpose and have looked into it. So that's one form of AI. I think most the most common that people are hearing about is Chat GPT. I think that's where people are more comfortable and getting even more comfortable because they're giving it better instructions than what they used to do. Is that what you are finding with people coming to you? They're going, oh, I think I know how to use this, but I need something else, I need more.
I think it's the other way. I would love if people come to me and say, I need more, but I believe people just generalize AI equals ChatGPT. And I go, no, that's where you start and understand how the language model works. And please understand, it's just a language model. There are much more better tools that are designed to do specific functional tasks. So people just think, oh, if I know ChatGPT, I know AI. It's just a very, very overused words these days, AI and ChatGPT. And people just think AI equals ChatGPT, but no, it's a good starting point. I would say that's where I started. I still use it. I've been using the paid version for almost more than a year now. But there are other tools that I pay because it's much more efficient than ChatGPT.
And that's a really important factor, isn't it? There's so many different software components that we can fund, I think is better than the word invest. Because some are investments and others we're just funding. And
Exactly.
finding the right ones that work for you is
Yeah.
so important.
I think people just get carried away with terms. I met another person at a networking event who was thrown at the deep end to buy the higher package of ClickFunnels, which is like $400 per month on a recurring subscription, when
Right.
she didn't, when USD, when she didn't have the product ready. So even while she was building the product, she was sold onto a subscription of a sales funnel. And I'm like, why? Because someone sold her on that product, basically. So I think CRM, sales funnels, marketing, there are so many different terms that people get attracted to, but don't really understand whether their requirement matches the functionality of that product.
That is such an important factor, is that what you need, and that will that product address it, and is that the best way to go? Oh, over the years, Priya, I have seen so many people invest in things and fund things. I'm not going to say invest, but they fund other companies and software, and the results, they're not getting results because it's not the right software for them. And even some people I've found spend so much time setting up the perfect website, but they really don't even need a website. Their business doesn't need it. But I think sometimes it is avoidance too, to get out and make sales in the business.
I'm with you on that. Like everybody feels they need a website. They spend thousands of dollars on website. My only question to them would be, is your website bringing you clients? Do you have a strategy to capture leads? Do you have a strategy to nurture those people who actually land on your website? Do you have a lead nurturing pipeline in place? Do you have a sales pipeline in place? People just think they need a fancy website and fancy photos. Yeah, maybe. That's basically, I use it as a system to validate my presence, that I'm legit, I'm a business and I exist. But when I was virtual, I never had a website. All I needed was a payment link or a landing page for to drive traffic and to convert them. So I was never a person who believed in website, but now I do have a functional website. I would say it's not a fancy website, but it's a functional website, does the job, and I drive traffic to that.
I think that's an important factor. As you said, it builds that credibility when people go, oh, who is this person? They'll go and search there, or they'll go and search on my favorite social media platform. They'll go search on LinkedIn. And that, if those two spaces aren't congruent with each other, they're not branded similarly, or they're not the same message coming across, then that's where people miss that target market as well. So it's a whole lot of components. I know that we've gone a bit off track with AI, but I think it's so important to have, that's my space, is where you go into something and you recognize that, yes, this is that same person that I was dealing with.
Yeah, I think LinkedIn was the last platform I pivoted to my business because people knew me as an academician. People knew me as a researcher. I used to work with University of Adelaide, University of Queensland in the research grant management space. So for me personally, Janine, I struggled being known for one thing. People knew me for different reasons, different demographic, different people knew me. So I had silos of different people from different demographic and different industry, but for everyone to actually understand and to make them believe, no, this is what I do now, and this is what I'm going to be doing, it was a challenge, even to overcome my own mental resistance in the fear of judgment, because people were like, they're all in Indian academicians who are sitting there thinking, I'm an academician, I'm a researcher, I'm a university lecturer, and here I'm talking about Instagram growth, lead generation, and sales pipeline, and I'm like, what is this girl up to? So I was fearing that judgment. So Instagram was my primary lead gen. It's still my primary lead gen. When I was completely online, but LinkedIn was the last one I actually moved, and I wouldn't say I'm very active there as much as I should be,
With
because of
your
the mental
topic,
resistance. And
you could generate so many more leads. And as you said, you're putting your content everywhere anyway, and that's how you can drive those leads, is one of the ways, is by putting that content out there.
that's right.
Because LinkedIn is looking for experts. That's the little crawlies go across and go, oh, this person seems like an expert in this field. And you definitely are an expert in AI. And because it's such a topical subject, people are searching for information on it all the time.
Yeah, I was surprised when one of my event on Eventbrite about AI in marketing attracted a lady who managed the AGM for Diamond Guild Australia. So they are the Association of Diamond Jewelers in Australia. And she contacted me saying, hey, we're doing having this AGM and we would like an education segment. So can you do an education segment to the business owners about just the power of AI for their business? So I did a 90-minute paid gig for them, and she found me on Google because Eventbrite did their marketing right, and she found me there.
And that's, again, that important factor, just to be seen across so many different platforms, isn't it? And by, having the right AI, you can do that quite easily, because it's generating it in different spaces and generating the right sort of content for the right platform.
Yes, definitely.
I'm just thinking of different ideas. It's when we're talking about subjects where I can apply it, I sort of go into this apply mode as we're having this conversation now. And I think other people would be doing exactly the same thing. I wonder how I can apply that in
I'm
my
glad you
space.
are an implementer, even when you think about implementation, because that I'm big on execution, right? Because a lot of people learn, they go for events, they go courses after courses, opting in different lead magnets, just reading about what people do. But if you're just holding information and not implementing it, it makes no sense, right? And that's why I'm so big on implementation, and why my model is so unique to the rest of the business coaching model, is because I found that gap in the market. There are amazing coaches who do amazing mentoring. They can give you the perfect framework, but if you don't implement, the needle does not move. But unfortunately, most of the business owners get caught up with life and, everything in between, and genuinely, they don't have the time to implement. So
Is
I'm
that
like,
where the V8s come into?
exactly. So 2021 December, I quit my six-figure paycheck, and I was excited to get right into business, sign clients, and just make my dream life come true. And Australia shuts down for Christmas, December and January, and I was
I
like,
did not
what?
realize that happens in
No, because I always had paid holidays, and it didn't impact me. So I was this newbie in the business world, who fancily threw the paycheck and got into business. And I'm like, damn it, what do I do now? So I was very surprised, and I needed work to keep me sane and not kill my kids. So I literally put a story on Instagram. If you're an Indian mother, Indian woman, who wants to become a VA, I'm going to train you. So it was, and that's the power of online business. You don't have to have a landing page or a website because people trust you. You can put up a story and you can get some traction, you can get some response. And I signed six people in right in that first week.
Fantastic.
So that was my first batch. I started with six people. I trained them live for 4 weeks, and then I paired them with my Australian clients. And then, but then it takes a lot of time. So I kind of go into the cycle of love, anger, relationship with my VA academy, because that's what I say. I don't hate them, but I just go into that anger mode when my expectations are not met, and when people just give excuses. And it's not like I don't understand Indian culture. It's not like I've never lived in India. And when people give me those excuses, I'm like, it's just, no, I'm not buying into this. So I go into that love anger cycle. So now I'm in that love cycle, but back in December, I was in that anger cycle. So I go through these emotions with my team. So it was basically an accidental thing that happened, but I could see the power in having those team of VAs that are trained by me and trained to actual requirement of my client, that I can pair them with. So I found it was very, very powerful. And that's the reason till today I would have trained 33 VAs. So the model is they pay me to come into my container, like a course, roughly 400 AUD. It's 20,000 Indian rupees. The reason I have that filter is I need people who've got that skin in the game, because if it's free, in India, I can get 2,000 people. So I wanted people who would be committed, who would actually have skin in the game, who would invest in themselves. They could get that money back within a month of getting a client. So I wanted it to be a no-brainer investment, but for them to trust and have that commitment as well. So they pay, come into the container, get trained by me based on their skill set. I actually pair them with my clients. So it becomes more of a teamwork where I do the mentoring. The client will stay in their zone of genius, and my VA will take care of all the admin, marketing work, 15 hours to 20 hours every week in their business.
I know I've had a VA for a couple of years, and I find it absolutely invaluable. I went to listen to a speaker, and there was all these different components, but that was the one challenge I took home to go, right, that's what I need to do, because you can't, as a sole trader, you can't do everything. You can
You
try.
don't have to. You don't have
No,
to, is my
no,
point. Yeah.
yeah,
It's
but
not worth your time.
no, it certainly isn't. And particularly, a lot of people, when they step into business, they're looking around at others who, have got everything organized and scheduled on their social media. There's regular posts going out. They're writing a book. They've got a podcast. They're doing a whole lot of things, and they're thinking to themselves, there's no way I can do all of this. And it's a bit like they're told what they need to do straight up, which we know that's not the steps that you take when you first go into a business. But it's a lot of pressure. there's a lot of pressure when you're first doing that, going, I don't even know what I'm doing.
Oh,
Particularly if
yeah.
you've never done social media before. I spoke to someone today thinking, oh, a mortgage broker. And that's what he was saying. He has never done social media before. And I looked at his LinkedIn page and I went, oh, I just want to help. It was, yeah.
Your heart just screamed to help that person.
It absolutely does. And another person I met today is a photographer, a wedding photographer, and I looked at his LinkedIn profile. And it's funny you say about what am I and who am I and how do I put that out there? And I found him, and he was a development manager for some. It was obviously a job that he had a job in a council or a government department, and then it had wedding photographer. And there were no photos on there. Just that. The other thing is a resume that, and you need to put in what you want to create in your business. Whatever you're doing in business, you need to continually manifest what you want to create or be very clear on what you want to create, don't you?
Yeah, I was telling my team yesterday, imagine your social media is your shop front, right? If you want to go shopping for t-shirts, you would obviously want to know which store you're going to and if that store sells t-shirt, if they have a mannequin or a display of t-shirts. And then when they walk inside, do you have the products that are there, you know, on the shelves, price listed? It has to be that clear with what you're offering to your clients. Imagine, I think that analogy kind of helped them understand a bit. Otherwise, they were like, ah, you know, I know I have to do it, but I'm not doing it. I'm like, that's the reason you're not signing clients. You know, people have to reach out to you because they should know what you're doing. So, and everyone is not good at everything. So for me, stories really work well. I don't post consistently, but my engagement is pretty much through stories. I sign clients through stories because I share pretty intimate things, whatever happen every day, my thoughts on every podcast I listen to, my thoughts about the client interactions I've had. So that's where the engagement happens. So I think everyone should find that sweet spot, even inside a platform, what works for them. Because, you know, when Reels came, I was petrified because I can't do the you know, throwing the clothes and changing t-shirt, that's not my style, right? I can't do those reels. So even now I just sit and talk. So I think you'll have to make it work with your style. You can't force just because that's the trend. I mean, I tell people don't follow the trend if it doesn't align with you, because energetically people can feel it when you're doing something that you're not aligned to.
The mortgage broker spoke to me about that today. He said, so should, because I was the speaker at this event. He said, so should we go on TikTok? And you're a mortgage broker. Your place is definitely on LinkedIn, but again, it's a storytelling there. He said, oh, you know, there's other people in the field being successful on TikTok. And I said, is that your personality? Is that where you're going? Is the 20-year-old your target market? And a mortgage broker, is it the 16-year-old your target market? Well, it's most likely not. Find where your clients or prospective clients are and have the conversations with them in the right spot.
I think most of them miss that point, right? Whether that's where their clients hang out and whether that's your personality. Like for me, TikTok is a big no. That's not my personality, right? I can do Instagram, but TikTok is not my style and I don't feel aligned on that platform. So when you feel icky, when you don't feel aligned, you better stay away from it.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's interesting. I am on a mission at the moment and I'm doing 5,000 steps before breakfast, which is really interesting when you've got to be somewhere at 7 a.m. for a breakfast meeting and you've got a 30-minute drive. Hence, the alarm clock gets earlier and earlier every day. And it's dark now too when I'm heading out. So I have to change the route that I walk because I need to stay on roads instead. And I do a 1 minute something, just a conversation as I'm going along. And I put those just on my own personal Facebook page, and that's me having a bit of a, oh, I haven't thought about that. Have you thought about how sometimes you really need to get uncomfortable? And I know my feet are aching today. I don't want to be out here, but the end result works. You know, that's what I'm aimed at. Those sort of things. Oh, I have started because I've already created it, I've started uploading it on TikTok as well. But it's not my space. It's not where I'm going. But I thought, that's me. I don't have makeup on. I've got a cap on and I'm just talking. If that's acceptable in that space, then that's me. It's very genuine and authentic. And if it attracts people who like that, those comments, then that's fine. But I've never done anything else on there before, and I won't do anything else other than that. It's just going to be
Exactly.
consistently that.
You attract the tribe, who feel that vibe and who vibe with that particular energy and authenticity. That's what you need.
And the last 3 years has really demonstrated that as well, because people were sat in different camps and had lots of different opinions about things. And it's just all of the things you're doing for branding is being authentic. And I had someone say to me, "Well, Janine, should you be talking about these things?" And I teach people to stand up, to speak about what is important for them. So why wouldn't I do that? It's putting that authenticity and being really genuine to who you are
Yeah.
without offending, hopefully. Well,
But
hopefully.
people have so much opinions these days. People get offended very quickly.
Oh, they do. I'm on our local Facebook pages with our upcoming council elections, and it's really interesting as to the different points of view. And I, as I said to someone, at least people on these forums are passionate. They're informed. They're informed around their belief systems, but they're informed at least. Whereas I've found in the past, most people, when it comes to elections, just see someone's pretty face and then they vote for them. I have no idea.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard hundreds of people walk up to when I'm, handing out different how to votes. Hundreds of people walk up to the gate and go, "Who are you voting for?" "I'm not sure who I'm voting for." "Oh, I saw that photo of that guy somewhere." "Yeah, that'll be all right. That'll do." So that's part of your branding, part of understanding that. But it's part, I've gone so off track, but it's still passionate about what you're doing and how you're doing it and how you're delivering it. And being informed, that's my big focus with anything. If I want to have an opinion on something, I better learn something about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Have an informed opinion and back it up with evidence as if somebody's going to question it. Somebody's going to ask you to justify it. Yeah.
Let's go back on AI because that's what we're meant to be. But I love having a conversation with Harold, things that travel around a little bit, because I know we had a conversation where you interviewed me on your podcast. What's the name of your podcast, Priya?
Pivot to Thrive. That's my
Pivot
brand name.
to Thrive, yes. And so we, covered different topics in that, which I absolutely love, and wherever conversations are meant to go. Pivoting back to AI, we haven't discussed what the negative components are. What can go wrong?
Basically, unable to differentiate the reality or, from AI. Like most of the images, I think last week or last 2 weeks ago, there was an image circulating on social media, like the Eiffel Tower in Paris was on fire,
I
which
saw
was it.
something like that,
It
yes.
was an AI generated image, but it created a lot of online chaos because it seemed very real. And in terms of American politics, they believe the results or the campaign might be very much skewed with AI. So there are certain aspects of it which people can use it to the disadvantage. And that's one of the reasons why Elon Musk also stopped supporting OpenAI, because he believes it's taking complete control and humanity, it's against humanity, which he's very big on. So there are certain aspects at a higher level, which we commoners don't get to understand the consequence just yet. But I believe from a bigger perspective, with the kind of research that's going around, I think there are concerns about the struggle to differentiate the reality from AI. I think that would be the biggest challenge with deep fake and things like that.
It's I got a photo through a company the other day, and it was a very inexpensive lead-in to this software, which I've since had been credited my investment, and it was awful. And I'd asked for a photo of a young woman. I gave the description of what I wanted, and it was to do with public speaking. It was just this woman's face screaming, and she's got her hands in the air. And when you look at her fingers, she only had four fingers, but they were like a V, a bit like Star Trek, that sort of thing. And I went, this is really bad. It was horrendous. And I tried it with another one of the things, and it was not quite as bad as that, but it was just awful. I went, this is a terrible product. So that's something to be really careful about
I think so too.
also.
I think in terms of text to image, I think the softwares and the algorithm is not very efficient. In terms of language model, I think they've nailed it. They've really got a very good product in most of the tools. But in terms of text to image, it's horrible, I can tell you.
That's what this was. It
Yeah,
was text to
it's
image.
horrible. Even if it's going to generate an image with text on it, it's even worse. Like you don't get the right spelling. You've got, words here and there. It's really, really bad. And I don't think even Canva, because I've got a Canva account and now they've got all these AI integrated to it, but I don't think it's as efficient as their normal Canva suite. So every product has jumped into some components of AI integrated into their algorithm. But I'm pretty happy with YouTube. YouTube is generating good thumbnails with AI. But I think there's a limit to 3 or 5 thumbnails per month. But their algorithm is really, really good. So I think moving forward, we will look at a lot of inbuilt AI tools in everything we use, pretty much.
Yeah, that's interesting. I just with this one, it was weird. I've got to put it up. I'll pop it up on Facebook as a this is what not to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But the company refunded the money back officially quite quickly. That was a good point. It's interesting you brought up about Elon Musk and the what word did you use? His
He actually withdrew from the OpenAI, his support to OpenAI.
Yeah, it. I read a book in 2011, and it's a follow-on from the book Homo Deus, and which is about. It challenges church and challenges science and a whole lot of components to it. You listen to it with an open mind. The second book, though, is like the second coming of man, or in this case, AI, and it's called Sapiens. And my husband and I are on a driving holiday, and I couldn't have read it. It was, 20 hours long, and it was read to us as we were driving. It was really, oh my goodness. So this, when you brought up with Elon Musk, I'm thinking that's definitely considerations when it comes to AI as to how many jobs do we take? How do we dumb ourselves down? And I'm not putting this on as a general statement for the next generation, but I have grave concerns that the next generation won't be able to generate a lot of their own thoughts because everything that they're doing, it's done for you.
I'll give you an example. My 8-year-old, he put his hand up for a leadership position at his school. So he basically had to do a campaign speech to his classmates. So 5 children put their hand up. So those 5 had to deliver a speech, and the kids would vote. And the one who gets elected for their class, they go to the year 3, the general election. So that's what a 2-round election. And my son asked me if he can use ChatGPT, the 8-year-old, because I sent him for holiday workshops. I said, no, I want you to think about how you want to represent yourself as a leader and the things you would do to your class. So I want you to put your thinking hat on and do it. So he wrote a one-pager. He did a great job. He lost by one vote, right? Single vote. I think he lost by one vote. And he came back. He was disappointed, not because he lost, because the guy who won had 3 pages written by ChatGPT. And he was angry that I didn't let him use ChatGPT to write the script.
Wow.
I said, I'm not judging, and it's not wrong they used it, but I would prefer you to write something on your own and be honest. And losing by one vote is not a bad thing. You've done really well, and I'm super proud of you.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's, and that's
I was
eight-year-old.
so shocked that 8-year-old parents really went all in and wrote a 3-pager for an election campaign for 8-year-olds, basically. But the yeah, some parents are really invested, right? So it actually backfired for my son in thinking that it was because of me he lost because I didn't let him use AI. So there we go.
That's exactly right. Are we going to create an even playing field?
Yeah. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the, in the next 2 or 3 years, how schools are going to adapt and compete. I think all the plagiarism tools have come up with additional functionalities to detect assignments written by AI, but I'm sure there'll be plugins to overcome that. So yeah, it's going to be very interesting, but I would say I don't think we can fight it. We just have to find peace with it, find that sweet spot that works in the most ethical way. That's what I would say. I'm not anti-AI when it comes to my kids, but I would want them to use their brain, use their creativity, So at least for an 8-year-old, I'm like, no, you're not using ChatGPT. You're just gonna take your notebook, write down your points. I can help you figure out how to frame the sentence and how to deliver it and tweak it, but we're not gonna use AI.
I think that you've done the right thing there, and I'm disappointed that he was beaten by something created artificially. As I mentioned, as you were telling the story, I'm concerned that there's going to be a lot missing, and every generation has accumulated more information. But the things that we know are a lot more things than our parents or grandparents knew, because there wasn't a world even with technology in it. There was, but my grandmother would know how to bottle vegetables, which if I need to do it, I can look it up, but that's not something I need to do. But the amount of software, the amount of work, the amount of business content knowledge created over the years, we have that. And because we've experienced it and we've learnt, we've gained knowledge on it. And also, we've shared that knowledge with others. And even if you're not a coach or a teacher, you tend to still share knowledge with others. You may be a mentor. Then how, and this is the next generation, and they're not going to be dumber. They're just not going to have the same knowledge base.
Exactly. My son is so much against me asking him to do the math problems with a notebook and pen because he goes to a school where it's Apple certified and everything is iPad. iPad and Apple pencil, that's all he uses. I'm like, I want you to take a notebook and write. He's like, I'm doing it on my iPad. So, yeah, it is a bit of a challenge on where to draw the line and how much pro AI you can be. So for me as a migrant, I think it's always a struggle where to draw the line. How much Australian can I be and how much Indian can I be? So I don't eat beef or pork, not for religious reasons, but I've never had it and I'm not keen on having it. But I let my kids enjoy a Bunnings sausage because I don't want them to feel left out. It's a sausage. So it always comes to where to draw the line. I think even with AI, it'll be like where to draw the line. But these are factors that we are evidently facing as AI. But mobile we use, it's tracking every minute, like everything that we do, everything we speak, everything we type, the smartphones we use, the apps we use, banking apps, financial information. You get a pie chart telling Janine, you spent so much on groceries this month, or this month you spent so much on travel. So everything in some shape or form has always been AI driven. It's just these few tools which has blown up that word and created this huge impact, not in a good way. So there are some people who are extremely scared about things that are happening. So I'm like, you like it, you don't like it, it's there to stay. You might as well embrace it and use it to your advantage, because I think businesses who are not adapting to change in the past, they are not existing anymore today. So your competitor is going to pick up that gear and run faster than you. So you just have to find, always say, find that lane that works for you and go with the pace that works for you. You don't have to have all the 10 tools, but take the tool that works for you and just work with that.
That's a really good point. And it's sort of, rounding off a lot of the things that we've discussed, as well as making sure that you are in your lane. Two of my protest things about AI, protest is I tend to use cash, because cash is king. If we get rid of cash, then there's the what's going to happen in the world, we won't be prepared for. The other thing is I've been driving electric golf carts for a lot of years, and they have a great deal of control about where you can take the cart on the golf course. And that's my protest with electric cars, is what will be the control over those electric cars in the future? Because they've been able to do it with golf course carts and with GPS, and stopping you from going certain places for years now.
Is that your post on Facebook that talks about the amount of lead used to create those batteries in electric cars, which is not sustainable?
Oh, I've got a few posts up on there. Yes.
Yeah. So people say it's clean energy, it's sustainable, but technically, when you look at the amount of lead and other chemicals that are used to create that battery for electric cars, it's just massive damage
Yeah.
to the environment. Yeah.
Cobalt and lithium, the cobalt, and we won't get into that, but the cobalt mining in Africa is horrendous. It takes lives, dozens of lives every day. So, there's a whole lot of reasons. But the AI on the electric vehicles, they don't want you going somewhere.
Yeah,
You won't get there. It's
exactly.
nobody sitting there at the golf course and monitoring where we're driving. The cart says, whoops, you've got a little bit too close to the green here. We're going to stop you until you reverse up, or we're going to give you this annoying beep until you reverse up and move away. It's coming.
Interestingly frightening.
It's definitely coming. We've talked about a whole lot of subjects. If we were to try to round a few things off with three takeaway points, Priya, what would they be?
So I think three takeaway points. One is the power of digital products. The reason I started my business, the reason why I do what I do, is I didn't want to trade time for money for two reasons. One, there's a cap on the value per hour, the dollar value, and there's only so much hours in the day that you can actually spend other than your kids' life and chores and everything in between. So my search was to find out ways how I can make money without trading time. And the only option that I found out is by adding digital products in place. So when I say digital products, whatever knowledge you have, whatever services you have, just value adding it with some kind of things where you're not there actively trading time for money. So it could be incorporating a lead magnet, a PDF, an ebook, a course, a webinar, a summit. So you basically get bookings while you sleep. You basically get invoices paid while you sleep. And the very first success I had was when I traveled to Japan last year and getting all the, ThriveCart emails saying, "Hey, you got a payment. You got this."
It's exciting,
So
isn't it, when you're traveling?
it's very
I
exciting.
find that with my books. Someone from Iceland has bought one of my books. I go, or downloaded
Yeah,
at Amazon. I go, oh, how cool is that?
I know. So that'll be my very first point, the power of digital products. And second is the power of delegation. So power of delegation, definitely as business owners, we try to be control freaks, So I think just letting go of things that is not worth your time and focusing on things that actually require your time and attention, I think that is a big one for me. And third one, obviously, embracing the power of AI, using it to your advantage in proportions that work for you and your brand.
Yeah, they're all really great points, and it is using what works best for you and what will help you without
It's
investing
not a one size fits all
funding.
approach. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You're very big on that word, isn't it?
Well,
Funding.
I just don't find it, there's some things you invest in. There's certainly great products out there that save you a lot of time and effort, and there it's that's an investment. But I know so many people that don't even know what software they've got, and they just keep funding it year after
Exactly.
year without.
I would just say spending.
It is. I don't have any trouble spending money. But if I was funding something, for me personally,
Expect a return on
it
investment,
is.
right?
I need to know what it's all about. So yeah, that's for me. It's been so valuable, Priya, that just the conversation and just giving people insight into what might and might not work for them, how they may need to use VAs instead and get things done in their business rather than doing things that they're not as comfortable with. Now I've appreciated and had fun in this chat.
I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. I think we have touched upon different things. We traveled to different, topics, and we have come back. But again, those three takeaway would be my key message for anybody who is listening, hustling, especially women. For this podcast, we tend to wear multiple hats every day, and we try to do it all. And that's why I tell women I meet every day, you don't have to do it all.
And that's a great point. So the power of digital, the power of delegation, and the power of AI. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. For people who are listening, I've got access to
Oh,
my
that's what I was going
free
to ask. Thank
course.
you. I'm glad you did that. I was going to go there. Thank you.
No problem. So people are listening, I've got a free course called Digital Product Mastery. So it's a 1 hour webinar broken down into 10 different bite-sized modules about the power of digital products, how they can do it in 6 steps, and also AI prompts. I've got three workbooks. So if people want to launch a course in 1 hour, I can promise you'll have resources and tools that you can implement in your business straight away.
Oh, that's brilliant. And those links will be in the course notes
Yes, so
below.
I'll share those links, and you can put them in the show notes below, and people can access. They can just sign up with their email, and they can go to the dashboard. The dashboard will have links to all 10 video modules and three course workbooks, which is social media strategy workbook, AI and marketing workbook, and also course planner workbook. So
Excellent.
pretty much they've got their course planning, how to create a course with AI and market. So you can literally do it in a couple of hours if you're like me. I work in beast mode, and I get things done when I want to get things done. Or if you're working at your own pace, you can definitely do it in a smart way. So you don't have to do the hard work, you can do the smart work.
Yeah, that's brilliant. No, thank you. And it's a very generous offer. I really appreciated it. And yes, it will be in the show notes when you are finding this on across any of the podcast channels or on my website. And talking about my website, JeaneVosper.com. If you've got any questions about how you might set up your business, how you might need a VA, or there's other things that within your business you're not sure of, jump on there, book a strategy call, and if I can't help you, I've got wonderful contacts like Priya, and I can direct you to them. 30 minutes free, and we can figure out what might be best for you. I really appreciate you joining and listening here on the We Are Women podcast, and look forward to you joining us next time. Remember to go to my YouTube channel and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Bye-bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the five most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.